let a man hoodwink you into that kind of doctrine. He's chosen some to suffer.
Yes, He has.
And I found this out. If we're going to heaven, we're going to go by the way He went, and that's by the way of a cross. And crosses are heavy. Crosses sure do kill flesh. That's a lot of our problems this morning, is flesh. He turned, told Peter, he said, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Want to be a blessing when we get to heaven? There will be no more flesh to fight. You see, the devil's told some of y'all just because you've done wicked, made mistakes, that you can't even come to an altar and pray. But let me tell you, the devil's a liar. He came to kill, listen, to steal and destroy. The devil's not happy just knocking you out. He wants to be sure you'll never come back. If it wasn't for the grace of God, Brother Lee, I'd be out this morning. I've done some things in my past life I'm not happy about. I've done some things since I've been saved I'm not real happy about. But I do want to say this thing. I'm closer to heaven today than I was yesterday. And I'm glad I pastor one of the greatest churches in America. You've showed your hunger for God. In church, if it's ever been a day and an hour when we have an opportunity, it is this morning. Look, sitting around here. Families hurting, searching. When they come, they need to be able to get something to take away to help their life. You know what's going to help our life is the Word of God. The stirring of worship. The atmosphere of God and His presence. And I tell you another thing will change your life. Somebody come hug your neck and say, I love you. You say, preacher, I don't like that kind. Get in on it. Get in on it. It'll help you, friend. This mind, you'll never go wrong minding the Lord. Good to have a church's friend. And I mean this. There's been times Brother Dean has come here. And he said a word that this church needed to hear. He has the gift of an evangelist. It's nothing he's done. God has put this gift in him and the Spirit upon him. Now you listen to what he's got to say this morning. The men got together here early and we prayed to ask God to speak to our heart. I sure hope you've come this way looking for a blessing. I have, and I found one. Come on, brother.
Malachi in the 3rd chapter. Hadn't the Lord been good to us? The pastor looked at me and asked me, did I have a burden to deliver? And I do. I have a word from the Lord. I don't feel like it's an hour-long word. I feel like I just need to deliver it. 10, 15 minutes. If it was an hour, I'd deliver it. That's not. I ain't worried about none of y'all. You better believe that's right. The only way you can have church right is to be determined that you're willing to hurt man's feelings, but never God's feelings. He's the one who put His Son on the cross to purchase us. I say we let Him do what He wants with us. And so the time frame that I'm mentioning is not to appeal to a bunch of Americans who've got to go to the state council. Let me tell you something. Amen. Somebody better get serious. I appreciate what the pastor said. Amen. There's coming an hour we're going to have 7-hour services. Because we're going to have to do like the North Koreans and some of them and meet somewhere in a warehouse secretly and stay all night whispering. Amen. So when I say I just have a burden that I need to lay out there, it's just from the Lord. And I bless the Lord. Thank God for it. I want Brother Caleb Williams to stand. 2.5 years ago, God sent me a driver, and his wife, Kim, is our secretary. And you pray for us. This is a servant of God, if there ever was one. And it's such a blessing to go down the road together. I promised them 2.5 years ago that we were going to honor each other and respect each other. And it's been heaven going down the road serving together. Just two servants trying to do something for the Lord. And hallelujah. You pray for us. We're going to Uganda a week from tomorrow. We're going to go get y'all a bowl of Ebola and bring it back. And they're already trying to bring it to Atlanta. We're just going to go get some, bring it back to you. But you pray for us. The Ebola's in western Uganda. It'll be a few thousand miles away in east. I mean, it's in western Africa. And we're on the extreme other side of Uganda. And there's other things. We're going to bring y'all yellow fever and malaria and stuff. But you do pray for us. And I pray God give you a burden. 2 weekends or 3 weekends ago, Al-Shabaab, the Somalian terrorist. A year ago, you remember they took over a shopping mall in Kenya and held hundreds hostage for about 5 days or so, killed over 100 people. They were taken over the airport where we're landing. That's about 3 weekends ago. So, not only are we going to bring y'all some boat, we're going to bring you some terrorists back too. And amen. We need your prayers. We did a double check to see if the Lord wants to go, and He does. And we're going. I want to thank the Lord for Brother Ken Bowman and for the Liberty Baptist Church and for the consistency. Unchanged. 15 years ago, the Lord brought me up here. Two older men of God told him, as a young preacher, you need to bring into your camp meeting. And we bonded that night. And the devil's tested that friendship several times. There's something to be said for longevity, people who are in it for God, not for their little old feelings. And you get two Baptists can get along together longer than a month. That's Red Sea miracle stuff right there. That's Daniel the Lion's Den material. And you get two preachers can work together for going on 2 decades. That's the real deal. And I'll never forget me and Jennifer up there on that little hill. And God gave us a little baby. How are we going to be in evangelism? Brother Corbett, you know, some of them motels, some of them people put you in. And the roaches have social security numbers and nicknames. And, you know, and Jennifer said, I can't. I mean, we've been in there with razor blades where the drug addicts have. And the stuff, in the motel rooms, on the floors and the stuff. And she said, how am I going to raise my baby? And I'm glad I didn't have a wife who said, how are we going to stay in evangelism? She just said, how are we going to do it? Not how are we going to have to quit doing it. Help me right there. And I said, I don't know. And I'll skip the story of how God gave us a trailer. That was remarkable. And then put me in his living room. And Sister Renee started saying, how are y'all going to take care of Preston? How you? And I said, the Lord gave us a trailer. And he was over there sleeping in the recliner. I was talking to the spiritual one. We were having a spiritual conversation. And I said, well, the Lord just gave us a camper from a church in Florida. And she said, well, how are you going to pull it? I said, I don't know. And he sat up in that. He sat up. You got what? What are you going to do? You need... You don't have a truck? I said, no, sir. And he just laid back and went to sleep. And I continued on with the spiritual one and talking. And a month later, he called us and said, God's told us what to do for you. And I never will forget. Now, y'all just don't know. Her daddy is a death row prison guard. I mean, poor. She grew up in a little wooden state house under the shadow of the Florida State Penitentiary. And my daddy's an independent Baptist preacher. Had a pile of young'uns and a few more bird dogs, and it had young'uns. And he fed the bird dogs better than he fed us, because he loved the bird dogs more than he loved his children. And I thought that was normal. That is understandable. But what I'm telling you, we didn't have anybody, but we had the Lord. And the Lord has people. And I don't mind talking about it. I don't mind talking about it. Y'all will never know what it felt like, me and Jennifer, little old poor kids. And that F-350, y'all started singing Amazing Grace. And he preached his verse out of the end of Galatians. As ye therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Somebody cranked up a diesel while they were singing Amazing Grace. And y'all burned. I'm going to show you how giving works. And that night, y'all burned the note on this place. He was handing a gospel preacher a set of keys. And that truck was worth more than our trailer, our double wide. We went down the road and I said, baby, you do know that you might be a redneck if what you're driving's worth more than what you're living in. And if everything you own can be moved on wheels tomorrow. I said, maybe this truck's worth more than our trailer. And it was. $50,000 truck and a $30,000 trailer was probably worth $400. And we rode down the road to carry the gospel far and wide. And I blessed the Lord. Amen. It's God. It's all God. And when you put that wing in, I know you was worried. I know you had, the only thing you was worried about, you wasn't worried about people being over there. I know you was concerned, would God be over there? I need a little help right there. I saw them come out of there weeping this morning, hitting the altars, and I said, thank God. Wasn't worried about people feeling it. God, I mean, there's people going to feel it. From the hand of God. But would the Holy Ghost go over there? And he's over there. Him and one old redneck. I don't know who else. There might be some more. Hallelujah. Flannel shirt, hair straight back, and hollering stuff. He could be hound hunting or shouting. I mean, a real redneck, you know, it's all the same. And when you build that one, I believe the Holy Ghost has got some people out there and he's aiming to draw them in, bring them in. And then he'll move over in there. Y'all, you know, you'll look at it strange for a while like you did that. But after a while, it'll be home. It'll be home. And the Holy Ghost will be there. I bless the Lord. All right. That wasn't my 15 minutes. Y'all can't do that to me. Malachi 3. I do need to deliver one burden. And it must be spoken in this meeting because God's going to do this. And it's got to be spoken so it can happen and God can get the glory in this meeting. Malachi 3, verse 10. Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. By the way, if you're going to be a milk Christian or a milk church, a baby church, you just hold on to what God's given you and don't give it back and you'll be a little milk. But if you want meat, if you want to be a meat church and a strong meat Christian, that there may be meat in mine house and prove me. God's the one throwing the challenge down. Them charismatics act like they're the ones challenging God. No. No, God's got a lot more in mind than we've ever had in mind. He's the one who said, come on and try me. You show you how good I am. Show you how big I am. Prove me. Now herewith saith the Lord of hosts. See that hosts? He's got a lot. He got a lot on his side. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Burden on my heart just for a little while, the Lord, to open the windows of heaven. Well, that was it. I hope you're getting it. The Lord wants to open the heaven's windows. And y'all ain't helping me. And pour out a blessing on this place. That's it. And I had to tell you that because He's going to do it. And when He does it this week and this season and right on through the next few months, I want y'all to look at each other and high five and fist bump and say, hey, He's opened the windows. And He's pouring out a blessing. Hallelujah. I fix and sign my own Bible. That's how religious I'm feeling. Amen. Yes, sir. Glory. He wants to open the windows of heaven. All right, let me comment on it for just another 9 minutes to say a few little things, go around it. Glory. He wants to open heaven's windows. Oh, Lord. Well, let's talk about it just for a minute. You want to jot down some things because I'm not turning anywhere. But if you want to study this later. Now, right here, you got the tither's window. That's people that bring the first fruits of their increase. Come on now. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. And running over. Don't it feel like it's running over this morning? I didn't even know I was up here hugging Brother Corbett a while ago until I was. It done sloshed out of my cup and got in my saucer and got all over my lap. Hallelujah. I was a hugging a big old ugly man before I knew it. Amen. Sorry, sis. I know he's pretty to you. Dr. Percy Ray said tithing's a lot bigger than money. Tithing is when you learn to give God the first. He said if you'll give Him the first hour of the morning, He'll take care of the rest of your day. He said if you'll give Him the first day of the week, He'll take care of the rest of the week. He said if you'll give Him the first fruits of your increase, He'll make sure your increase increases. Y'all ain't helping me. He said if you'll give Him that firstborn child, He'll put a blessing on them other children. Hey! If I could reach a chandelier, I'd swing off of it. I don't know if I can get up there. Glory to God. And by the way, this tithing business, it predates the law. The father of the faith, Romans 4, 7 times, said Abraham's the father of our faith. And he came back from a great battle and he bowed down before King Melchizedek, who laid out the Lord's Supper. Y'all better help me now. Laid out the Lord's Supper, bread and wine. And he gave him tithes of all the spoils he had just gathered. And the king of Sodom came along and said, you give me the souls and you can keep the substance. And that's all Satan wants. He wants y'all to keep your material stuff, but he wants your children. He wants your wives. He wants the souls. But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I've already done business with the king of Salem. Hit the road, Jack. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Some of y'all are tied in with the king of Sodom and not the king of Salem. Hallelujah. It's always been 10%. You get over there, and you get over there, that's what tithe means, tenth, why it sounds so much like tenth. And you get over there, in the New Testament, honey, it's just giving everything you got. I had a man come to my office on a Monday. He had retired from running a city of 125,000, came to my little town of 300. And we was lying about that. And he come into my little church and he thought I was one of these little sissies from seminary, kissing babies and hugging grannies and just organizing committees. Can I get a witness right there? He didn't know I was raised by rednecks, drunks, preachers, and drill sergeants. And some of them were all at the same time. And they also didn't have enough sense. No, you don't mess with a preacher on Monday. Amen. Catch him on Saturday when he's praying for you. Not on Monday when he's scheming and asking God how he could, God, could you just kill them all? Kill them all. Just kill them all and I'll feel better about my ministry. And, you know, and so he come by there and he said, I don't believe in that tithing. That's Old Testament. Well, I was feeling a little contrary, a little cantankerous, and a whole lot carnal. So I just throwed my feet up on. I just throwed my feet up on the desk. I just throwed them right up there, right up in front of his face. He leaned over, tell him. I just throwed them up there. And I said, I'm so glad God sent you here, especially with your recent retirement. I said, because I've been waiting on a New Testament giver a long time. I said, you know, all them other sorry members I preached to yesterday, they're just Old Testament. I said, I've been waiting on a New Testament giver. His eyebrows went toward the heavens. I said, yes, sir. I said, you see them feet? They'll be here all week. I said, in the New Testament, they got filled with the Holy Ghost. They sold everything they had, lands and houses, and brought it all and laid it at their preacher's feet. I said, I figure you can liquidize within the week. I'll be here. Turned out he wasn't an Old or a New Testament guy. He wasn't even in the concordance or the book of maps. Tell you something, honey, if you give to God, and how could you not, after what he gave to us, and he's the one that gives to us, if you give to God, he'll open up a window in heaven and pour it out. Now this is going to go in rapid succession. Now Noah had a window. In Genesis 6:16, he said, "You put one window in that ark, and it'll be above." And I'm going to say this, and if y'all don't get it, it's 7 minutes in the penalty box. So act like you got it, whether you did or not. Noah was in the ark. There's only one door in, and it had three levels. Aren't you glad you're in Christ? That door's shut and you sealed in. And there was, I'm going to say this, y'all better get it. And there was a storm brewing that was killing the whole world. But he couldn't see it because he was sheltered in that ark. And the only window he had was over him. And he couldn't see what was killing everybody around him. Only place he could look was up. And I'm glad in here today there's a storm out there that's killing the whole world, honey. There's a judgment and a condemnation, but I'm in Christ and I'm looking up. And some of you in this meeting this way. And by the way, you need to be in this meeting. You don't need to miss a service. If you can providentially help it at all, you need to be here to hear every message. And they used to come to me for counseling. And turned out nobody really wanted counseling. Because here's what I'd tell them. I said, me and you got an appointment. We have a counseling appointment 12 months from today. I said, I want you to sit on the front row with your problem the next 12 months, every service, and listen to every message and circle the verses and go to the altar and pray over every message. And if God don't fix your problem in a year, you come back and see me, and I'm pretty sure I won't be able to. You know, nobody, they couldn't even make a month, much less 12 months. They wasn't interested in getting help. They was trying to get pity, trying to get attention, trying to get blame on somebody else for their problems. Help me right there. Help me right there. Let me tell you something. If God can't fix your problem, we can't. You lying about what the problem is anyway. You ain't going to tell us the real problem. One window. Y'all need to get in here and look up. Noah had a window. Rahab had a window. She hung that scarlet thread out there and them boys. Oh, do you remember when the gospel came to your house? I'm going to say this. Y'all better help me. How did Rahab the harlot get saved? How did an old Gentile harlot get in there and become a bride in the family? Y'all ain't helping me. I tell you how, two men came and knocked on her door one day. Y'all got quiet on me right there. Two men came and knocked on her door one day and they said, it's just us now, but there's a bunch coming later. There's an army. There's an invasion. Y'all ain't helping me. There's an invasion. Our king is coming with a big army, and in a little while we'll own this. We'll own this. And she believed them and she received them. And them boys got out by a scarlet cord out of the wind, and she watched them, and you know how she knew that would work for her? Because it worked for them. I'm going to say something. It's still the blood. Rahab had a window. That temple didn't have any windows, a tabernacle. Dr. M.R. DeHaan said when they were building that tabernacle and that tent in the wilderness, and that temple, there's supposed to be no windows. The only light they were supposed to have inside the holy place was to be coming from the fire of God that was a burning. There's supposed to be no influence from outside light. I need a little help right here. Let me tell you something. Down at the church house, we do not need advice from Main Street or Wall Street. And we don't need advice from your street. Help me right there. Let me tell you something. God's going to tell that man. He'll tell a shepherd. He'll tell a pastor what he wants done. And it will not make sense. God ain't never did anything that anybody else had already thought of. God's will is never desirable and it's never predictable. We're not supposed to have any outside influence. And that's the problem with our churches. We're letting the world tell it. This seeker-friendly market strategy. The only light we're supposed to operate in here is the fire of God that's burning in here and to show us how to operate in His presence. And some of you getting a lot of influence from outside light in your personal lives. You better crawl off in that holy place and shut the world out. I'm going to say it again. You better be in this meeting this week. Number three, number four, number something. Michael, Saul's daughter, married to David. She sat up in that window and when she saw King David leaping and dancing and praising God, the ark was coming back. I need to get a little witness right there. The presence of God, the power of God was coming back to Jerusalem. The whole nation was on parade and the king was leaping and dancing and praising God. And she is up in the window. And the Bible didn't say she is David's wife. And that, it said, it's Saul's daughter. The reason some of y'all can't get in on the parade over the power of God because you're still in the wrong family. And she looked down that window and she despised him. Let me tell you something. You come around an old-fashioned Holy Ghost church, they're going to be people acting like you ain't seen them acting in old dead churches. Help me now. Help me now. I didn't even know I was hugging that big old ugly singer man a while ago until I was up here hugging it. Honey, King David couldn't contain himself. Went to leaping and dancing and praising God. And you go to despising somebody's worship, honey. God made her barren. She never could have any children. You stay out of that critical window. I got tickled at this one. I just went through the Bible and found all the windows and asked God to open all of them. This one tickled me here. Genesis 6 was Noah's. Joshua 2 is Rahab's. Michael, she's over there in 2 Samuel 6. I found another window. Jezebel sitting up there in that window. 2 Kings 9:30. That wicked queen. She hated Elijah. Over in Revelation, he said, I got a problem with that one church. They're allowing that woman Jezebel to run things. Y'all ain't helping me. They're allowing her to commit fornication and to teach my servants to seduce and to commit fornication, and they're all in a bed of adultery. Help me right there. I love 2 Kings 9:30. I got to do me a word study because I don't know what the word tired means. It said in Jezebel, and she sat up in the window and said she painted her face and tired her head. I've been to y'all's Walmart. I've seen some old tired heads down there. Don't know how long they worked on it, but they worked a while to get it looking that tired. We got to call Brother Dane and see what tired means. Jezebel said, they're painting her face and tired her hair. And her judgment finally comes. She had persecuted. She's a picture of spiritual wickedness in high places. And brother, she had manipulated Ahab. He was an old weak wimp thing. Let his wife run him. Y'all help me right there. You do understand, y'all ain't gonna have, I don't care how much preaching and praying goes on around here, until you men become the head of your home, until you ladies become the heart of your home and quit trying to be something God didn't make you to be, until you girls become the heart and not the head, I don't care how good he preaches, how hard y'all pray, how much we shout, and how wonderful the sermons are this week, until you get that original rebellion and get it reversed, God can't move in your life. And Jezebel's up there. And they prophesied, said the dogs are going to eat her. Eat her blood. And old, was it Jehu? I forgot the name. Yes, Jehu. Jehovah something. We got to see what that means. He come down there and he said, all right, boys, we're fixing to have revival. And he started cleaning house in the nation of Israel. Boy, don't we need a good house cleaning. And she's up there with her old tired hair and her painted face. And Jehu, or like the man of God, got in it, and he looked up the window and he said, who's on the Lord's side? Yeah. Who? Yeah. It's in there. He said, who? With a question mark by itself. He had to call it out a second time. If you've ever been around Jezebel, I mean, you'll have to call for a little reinforcement. You'll have to holler who more than once. He said, who's on the Lord's side? Who? Yeah. Yeah. Who? Who? You know I'm wanting to sing Who Let the Dogs Out right there. You know what I mean? Is that carnal or spiritual? Because the dogs were fixing to get turned loose on her. I want to know who let the dogs out. I enjoyed that too much. And boy, it would have been great to know if them would have been Georgia Bulldogs. You know that would have been a blessing. When I preach that next week somewhere, there's going to be Georgia Bulldogs. Who let the dogs out? And he said, who's on the Lord's side? Who? And in a minute, look, I like this. Brother James said, two or three eunuchs. Two or three old eunuchs stuck their head out. I'm going to be real careful and be appropriate here, Pastor. There's a truth here. Them eunuchs were servants. And they'd been captured from another country. And those men, and they'd been castrated, made to be eunuchs. And I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to be scriptural right here. There was a woman running the thing. And then they wouldn't let the men be men. Help me right there. But them boys knew where they come from. They come back there from somewhere and they knew the Lord. They said, you know, we've been captured from another place and brought here, but we know the Lord. Two or three eunuchs stuck their head out and they said, hey, we're on the Lord's side. He said, good. Get that old tired head of hair in there and said, throw her down. I heard old black man, old tape, he preached on, fling her down. Throw her down! And they threw her down! She splattered, the Bible said, her blood splattered on the wall. Listen, this is a little rough, but it's the Bible. And said, the dogs ate her. And then the Bible said, they went up on the hill and said, she became the dung on that hill. Them dogs ate her and they went up there on that hill and she became dung, and they came by the next chapter and said, the word of the Lord's been fulfilled. She's dung on the side of the hill. I'm going to tell you something, neighbors. There's some Jezebels, and I'm talking about spiritual wickedness in high places in our nation and in our churches and in our homes. There is a spirit of Jezebel, and brethren, that's got to be thrown down and judged before God can bring revival. Now the problem with all these big mega modern contemporary churches, they want to have revival without opening up any windows and throwing Jezebel out. You can't hold on to your idolatry and your adultery and your rebellion and your spiritual wickedness in high places. A church can't have revival until the strongholds that have ruled that thing for a generation have got to be thrown down. Somebody needs to stick your head out this week and say, I'm on the Lord's side. I'm pretty impressed with how I'm doing that. Oh my. Now I'm closing. In 2 Corinthians 11, Paul, they opened up a window and they let the apostle out in a basket. Hey. That great apostle to the Gentiles. The Jews were wanting to kill him, but God said, he's got to go be a preacher. He's got to go win the Gentiles. And they put him in a basket and opened up that window. And he said in 2 Corinthians 11, 30 or 33, and through a window, I was let down in a basket. And I escaped. Y'all just need to take a recess this week and shout that God opened up a window back yonder when the enemy was trying to kill you. He opened up a window and let you out. And ain't you glad for people that hold the ropes? Ain't you glad for people who hold the rope? You can depend on them. Somebody's got to stay in the bad place where the enemy's wanting to kill you. And they're the rope holders. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. I'm hesitating to tell a real personal story. That's why I hugged his neck this morning. I've come under brutal, vicious assault from a man playing to be my friend. We got you back, preacher. Big preacher, big church, going to help me, you know. Called me Judas Iscariot yesterday. Called me Antichrist. I come in here bleeding. And I ain't even mad at nobody. I mean, just those things hurt when you're betrayed. And I come in here, and I'll just be honest. Y'all think this is flat. I don't care what you think. I'm just having to be honest. I sat down there, and he come in, and the Lord said, now, ain't you glad you got some real friends? And he ain't never told me, I got your back. He just always had it. And I'll be honest. Y'all think what you want about this. I'm just having to be real right here. Thank God for some preachers and churches. Thank God for God's people who hold that rope. And they've actually not going to turn you loose and let you drop and let you die. Some of you should have been in hell. Some of you have been prodigal. Some of you have been rebel. Some of you have been running. Some of you are running right now. But they's some prayer warriors. They's some of God's people. You're mistreating them right now. And what you don't know is they're holding that rope to keep you from dropping off into hell, dropping off into a hog hole, honey, a pit somewhere. Thank God for people who hold the ropes. And then Eutychus over there in Acts 20. He was sitting way up there in the window. Paul preached all night. He preached all night long till the sun come up. And old Eutychus was way up there in the window. And he fell out and he died. I got a good hour-long sermon on why people in the church fall out and die. Eutychus. Lester Roloff said, why'd they name him Eutychus? He said, you'd have cussed too if you fell out that window and died. I wouldn't say something like that, but old Roloff did. You know where Eutychus was? He was more out than in. Y'all ain't helping me. This meeting's going to save some of his lives because you're about to fall out of church and die. Eutychus was more out. You notice he didn't fall in. There was more him hanging out than there was in. Help me now. Eutychus was as far away from the preacher as he could be. Uh-oh, it got quiet right there, preacher. You know, when you quit, when you leave the praying crowd and get around the whispering crowd, you always have to distance yourself from the preacher. When you get worked up over the business meeting, but you're no longer worked up over the prayer meeting. People get as far away from the preacher as they can when they're getting ready to fall out. He was in a real high place looking down. Some of y'all ain't in this. You backed way up and you're just looking down on everybody. Help me now. Well, there's 7 more points on that, but I'm going to leave them alone. Some of y'all better get in. You better get in. And you know when he fell out and landed and died, Paul went outside and got over him and he resurrected him. Ain't you glad sometime when you fall out and die that God will get over you and bring you back to life? And then the last one. I just had to show y'all this. Jeremiah 9, verse 22, said, "Death has come up and peered in our window." Death has come up into our windows! Let me tell you why you better get in this thing, honey, because you don't know how close death is right down there looking in your window. Fixing to come in. Death has come up. Let me say something here. Death has come up into America's window, and she's looking in. That Muslim sword's here. Those cursed plagues in other countries, they're here. The Muslims are here. Y'all better help me. Honey, our hedge is gone. And what's been restrained by grace is now arriving. Death's come up and peered in our windows. Honey, the best place for you to be is in a Holy Ghost church with the power of God. I want the Corbetts to come back, please. Is that all right, Pastor? And come, I want y'all to bow your heads. Now, these windows are open. God wanted me to talk about these windows, these Bible windows. I don't know how the Lord spoke to your heart this morning. But you ought to come out of your seat and get on this altar right now. You need to open some windows. You need to close some windows. You need to get out of some windows. You need to get in some of these windows. I don't know how the Lord spoke to you. But I want to ask the church to gather around and pray that the power of God, the windows of heaven, would open up on this meeting.